disabled man for holding up a sign that read something like, "Need help traveling east to visit my wife," while Telfair was standing within 50 feet of the change-making machine on Pacific and Church. He did not warn Telfair as required before issuing any such citation. More important, Malotte didn't know the law or intentionally was disregarding the wording of the law because, as those of you know who are legal eagles around the downtown ordinances, and perhaps more and more of you are becoming legal eagles, it's not illegal to hold up a sign anywhere in Santa Cruz at any time. It just isn't. I suppose if you hold up a sign that's 50 feet by 50 feet and you're blocking traffic, that might be illegal. But a small, personally held sign is never illegal. And Telfair's sign wasn't illegal, and the city attorney confirmed that and dropped the ticket. But this was after Malotte not only lied to him about this issue, or let's put it this way, misinformed him on this issue. Let's be generous. Let's assume Malotte is simply incompetent and not malicious. Malotte also told him that he couldn't sit down and hold up a sign. He had to stand. Now, it is true under the downtown ordinances that you can't sit down and ask for spare change verbally. That's illegal. Thank you, oh brilliant Kennedy Matthews Rotkin City Council. That was an ordinance passed by the City Council in 1994 that badly, badly needs to be repealed. But it is not true that you can't sit down and hold up a sign. Again, as I said before, holding up a sign is completely legal. Malotte, the man who trains the downtown hosts, is apparently not read the law, doesn't understand the law, or is intentionally misrepresenting the law. And I wrote in this letter to the Citizens Police Review Board that I thought he was misrepresenting the law. Now, it really doesn't matter, by the way, that I wrote to the CPRB on this, because Malotte is what they call a CSO, a community service officer. He wears light blue, as distinguished from dark blue you'll see downtown. If you notice the different costumes worn by police officers, you got the green hosts, you got the brown security guards, you got the dark blue police officers, you got the light blue community service officers. Now, community service officers are a part of the police department, but they're not subject to the, quote, review of the Citizens Police Review Board. Not that it matters, because the Citizens Police Review Board doesn't review anything. I mean, it routinely gives a rubber stamp to everything the police do, never holds public hearings, never has an independent investigation, couldn't care less when people are shot, and doesn't even, you know, bother to hold early investigations in order to give the public some understanding of what's going on, doesn't review firearms policies, doesn't care that people are pepper sprayed. It's a pretty bad board, and hopefully will resign en masse, or be executed en masse, in terms of at least the city council firing it. At least four city council members should fire their current proxies on that Citizens Police Review Board. But the CSOs are not actually under the Citizens Police Review Board. Not that any of the police officers are either, as I said, but the CSOs are specifically excluded. But they can run around and write these little nasty citations that frighten older disabled people, that intimidate young people, that harass and make miserable other people, and are all done, mind you, for the good of the downtown, to make this a more hospitable and humane environment for the shoppers. I don't think too much needs to be said about that, except that that's another damn good reason for coming down tomorrow at 1 o'clock, doing some tabling with me and Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and coming down at 5:30 and continuing that tabling in front of New Leaf Market, or if it's raining, in front of Blockbuster Video. Because we need this city to turn around and to realize that it's time to stop repressing the poor, it's time to stop harassing the homeless, it's time to start giving everyone the full benefit of human rights. And it can't just be a handful of us doing it. It has to be the community of those whose rights are being violated have to stand up and support their own rights. And of course, often that's the hardest to do. It took many, many, many aborted protests, small individual protest martyrs, in the 30s, the 40s, in the 50s, before suddenly the spark happened and everybody refused to use the Birmingham buses and did the successful Birmingham bus boycott, until hundreds and hundreds of civil workers went south and began to support voter registration in the 60s and similar campaigns, sit-ins in Greensboro and other places. Civil rights is something that, you know, you can't be sure when the spark is going to be lit, but you got to keep trying to strike the match. That's what you got to keep trying to do. And that's what we're doing here at Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. That's what we're doing here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. And that's what hopefully you will join us in doing if you give us a call at 427-4523. Now, the flasher light on this phone has gotten a little dim. So if you have called in the last half hour and for some reason I've ignored you, try again. Give me a break. Let us hear from you. And let's see if we can get you on the air if you have something to say about anything you've heard. And again, if you want to talk to city council members, that is happening now. And that is happening... boy, did I lose my... Ooh, my producer is going to kill me. Wait a minute, I hear a voice. 425-4920 is apparently the voice from the wilderness that just shouted at me. That's the number you should call if you want to reach Voices from the Village. That's the television show that often is pretty namby-pamby, but sometimes holds people's noses to the grindstone on issues. That's a community television show that has, right now, three council members. Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, 425-4920. Give a call, even if you haven't got a television, and ask some questions of these city council members, the new city council majority. We need them to get off their happy butts, off their smiley face, you know, enough of the smiley talk, and let's get down to some real changes in oppressive laws, specifically and most important, beginning with the sleeping ban. The sleeping ban needs to be changed and changed on December 8th, and then with a special session called on the 15th. And if that upsets the merchants, well, so be it. It's not like we're stealing their beds. I mean, let's look at it that way, shall we? And again, I don't think this is going to happen magically. You can call city council, and that's a good idea, at 429-3550, then press the pound key and tell them, please get off the stick, accept nothing less than changing the sleeping ban on the 8th. I know you don't want to do it. I know you're nervous about it. I know you'd rather wait. I know you'd rather have every merchant agreeing. I know you'd rather have all kinds of sessions and have it done in February. But that means pain and suffering and possibly death for homeless people outside, and it certainly means constant fear and indignity for hundreds and hundreds of people. And you can't wait for that. I guess the other option is to direct the city attorney to go into court and find the law unconstitutional. That might be a positive thing. I don't know if a city can do that on itself. I doubt it. But that's another option. You know, I had a lot more I was going to be doing tonight, and I'm going to start trying to do that. Santa Barbara is a city that has a sleeping ban. It has a more complicated history because they actually abolished their sleeping ban back in 1986 when they were faced with the threat of mass protests from the Creative Community for Nonviolence, led by Mitch Snyder and lots of local homeless activists. They had a campaign, Come to the Fig Tree, Go to Sleep, Go to Jail, that was to start, I believe, on September 1st in 1986. And the city council capitulated and ended their sleeping ban. And for 3 years, there was no sleeping ban in Santa Barbara. And by the way, Councilmember Rotkin, they did not have hundreds and thousands and millions of homeless people coming to town. And the sad reality is Rotkin knows that because he was on the city council when John Laird called the mayor of Santa Barbara and had conference calls about that issue. Unless, of course, the mayor lied to them. I suppose that's possible. Mayor Sheila Lodge has never been the best and the most honest of people. She was the mayor at that time, and she was the mayor in 92 when I was in Santa Barbara. Anyway, Santa Barbara recently, as I mentioned, because it has this process for citizens putting matters on the council agenda, had a sleeping ban issue raised by members of the public. I'm going to play you some of the debate and the discussion around that right now.
Ask that you leave the chamber as quietly as possible.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
At this point, I have more than 15. I have about 18 requests to speak. I'd suggest you not accept any more requests on item 30.
I won't accept any more.
Request from Robert H. Boone for the revocation of City of Santa Barbara anti-sleeping ordinances. Staff recommendation that Council A. Hear a request from Mr. Robert H. Boone to revoke Santa Barbara Municipal Code Sections 1516070, unlawful areas to camp, 1516080, recreational vehicles, unlawful areas to use, and 1516085, unlawful areas to sleep. And B, deny Mr. Boone's request based on staff's recommendation to retain the ordinances.
Mrs. Tripp Jones, do you wish to have Mr. Boone speak first, or do you wish to have staff comments?
Yes, I think we should hear first from Mr. Boone, okay. And then Captain Glaus will present the staff report.
Okay, Mr. Boone?
Mayor and Council, thank you for allowing me to be here. My friends call me Bear. I invite you all to do the same. I'm hoping for a peaceful resolution. It's a win-win for everybody out of this question that I've raised for tonight. And I hope that we can all treat this as a sacred space and an opportunity for some healing here. It feels like a lucid dream, and I'm tampering with an illusion right now. This is a very different world than I'm accustomed to right now. I spent 20 years in the corporate world. I was an executive doing computer systems for hospitals. And so I'm in touch with kind of this, maybe some of the space that you're in and some of the fears around the issues here. I hope we all use this forum properly today. I come in respect. Forgive me for not having a suit anymore. I hope that everybody who's going to speak stays very relevant to the subject. And I hope that all of us can be very honest tonight to facilitate some healing. If we revoke these anti-sleeping ordinances, there's going to be issues that are raised that are going to be coming up. You know, there's going to be fears about people sleeping on State Street. And there's going to be fears on the part of the homeless. Does this mean we can sleep in a park? Which ones? There's going to be concerns about what's it going to look like in the morning when I go to work and I've got to drive past that park. And I hope that we can work together. I offer myself to work together to resolve the issues that would come from revoking these laws. Solutions may be like turning the sprinklers on at 7 o'clock in the morning to get them out of the park instead of in the middle of the night so they can't use the park. And I propose that that's a subsequent agenda item to deal with these things. So I would like it very much if we can stay focused on should sleeping be illegal. Even beyond the Constitution, we have certain inalienable rights. As human beings, we have a right to be. And being involves moving, traveling. It involves rest, eat, and defecate. The city has made it very, very difficult for homeless persons to rest. It's also very difficult to take a dump at night sometimes. It's hard to find a place that the homeless person can go to. And then there is the issue of the constitutionality of this. There was recently a decision in Miami, in a U.S. District Court, after a 10-year battle ACLU had with Miami over sleeping tickets. And the decision there was you can't give the guy a ticket unless you've offered him an alternative place to stay, and he's refused. But I ask you to consider the harmlessness of sleep. What is the offense? Where's the victim? It carries a misdemeanor fine, I believe, I'm told, a $75 fine with a $125 victim fee. It's a $125 victim fee because it's a misdemeanor. But the city doesn't have to produce the victim. Fact is, the victim is the guy that woke up and got a ticket. There's concern about related offenses associated with homeless and sleeping. Issues such as littering, trespassing, disorderly conduct, illegal fires, etc. We have laws for these issues, and those are the ones to enforce, not sleeping. These fears are not a reason to make sleeping illegal. I ask you to consider the vulnerability of the sleeper. I know that's one concern. And that was a reason that was suggested for having it illegal to sleep outside. But the homeless people are asking, please take your laws off our bodies. It's dangerous to drive an automobile. It's dangerous to skydive. We don't make these things illegal. There's safety in numbers in the park. These laws cause people, consider the homeless woman who just maybe left after a beating from her husband and she got sick and she goes running out of the house with a pillow and a blanket at 10 o'clock at night. She wants to sleep in the park in the light. Wouldn't it be nice if there were other people around there too create a little bit more security than having to hide in the bushes so she doesn't get a ticket. Consider the effects of these laws. Hiding in unlit places to sleep. Poor sleep for fear of the law. Consider this image. An alcoholic homeless person has been drinking in the evening and he crashes in a park under a tree. Several hours later, an officer comes along and wakes him up. Full of anger, probably, a little hostility there, maybe. And he gives him a ticket and tells him, you can't sleep here. You can't stay here. You got to go somewhere else. So now, what we have is an awake, drunk, half hungover, no money in his pocket, wandering around, can't think of anything but finding another drink. Who is more apt to commit the crime? The officer, the drunk that just was awakened by the policeman and given a ticket, or the one that was left there peacefully sleeping? It feels to most of us homeless like harassment. It promotes anger toward the police and the system. It increases the feelings of isolation from society. I think something that upsets all of us that we see from time to time is a homeless person walking down the street raging. You've seen him before. God damn this and F this. And we've all seen that person. It makes us all cringe. He's yelling obscenities. Do you think that the effects of these laws might contribute to his behavior? That the hate and the disdain that he feels might contribute? 30 to 40% of the homeless are emotionally and or mentally unstable. They need love. They don't need disdain. Why do these laws exist? From the view of the homeless, some consider that it's about money. Most people in Santa Barbara pay a property tax or a rental tax or a hotel tax, or they pay, or the, oh, what can we do about the homeless? They can pay a fine. It feels to many like a hate crime against the homeless, these laws. Feels like a tool for the purpose of harassment. There's a couple of hundred offenses nightly. I'm sure there's at least 100 people a night in Santa Barbara that are sleeping in their cars, and there's another 100 that are sleeping around in bushes and at the beach and places. It feels to us like random or and or selective enforcement. You don't really know when he's going to come wake you. And that promotes fear. There was an experiment with mice done where they took some mice and they shocked them. And they just shocked them at random intervals. And they had some other mice that there was a light bulb that came on first, and then they got the shock. Every time they got the warning of the light first. The ones with the light, they got accustomed to it because they knew it was coming. They could prepare for it. The ones that got it randomly just went nuts. They were fighting and attacking each other. They were totally stressed out. They got diseases. There's been experiments with sleep deprivation, too, and what that does. Similar results. It creates stress. I was talking earlier to a psychologist who is actually with your Department of Social Services, and he talked about some of the effects of stress, not just on the physical body, but on the demeanor of the person. I think you already know what these symptoms are. So, think about the homeless person angrily yelling obscenities down the street. Maybe there's some things that our system is doing to provoke that. I also consider the view of the city. It's a beautiful city, and tourism is very important to the city. And again, I offer myself to help resolve any issues that come up as a result of revoking these laws. I feel like I've got some responsibility. But I'm asking for some compassion. Compassion for the battered housewife. Compassion for all the homeless that don't fit your fearful stereotype. There's many of us. How many people in Santa Barbara are one paycheck away from being homeless? What about the Vietnam vet? What about the religious or spiritual person that's just seeking non-attachment? Just wanting to sleep under the stars. There's a lot of people just want to sleep under the stars. Will you allow this? Kids who grew up unloved, molested, or other abuses, the street's full of them, and a lot of emotionally unstable. I'm asking for compassion for these people. They don't all fit your stereotype.
Let us please begin the healing process by restoring the right to sleep. We all make mistakes. It was a mistake to make these laws in an attempt to solve the homeless problem. The problem is in the polarities. It's in the separation. The separation comes from judgment. Let's open our hearts. I forgive you for having so much more material wealth than I do. Will you forgive me for my freedom? Will you allow it? Will you allow me to be, to move, to rest, to eat, and to defecate? A winter shelter offers more than my rights. It offers compassion. And I thank you for your efforts there. But may I have my rights too? Thank you in advance for revoking these anti-sleeping ordinances.
Thank you, Captain Glaus.
And we'll have to do without Captain Glaus because our two hours is coming to an end. That was Boone, also known as Bear, in Santa Barbara, presenting his case to the Santa Barbara City Council. You'll learn the thrilling conclusion to this whole situation, though don't hold your breath, at the next edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides, which will be on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Coming up next is Uncle Dennis. We're also going to be on Sunday interviewing Fred Geiger, who is having an ongoing debate with Riot Act Rotkin, as I call Michael Rotkin, in the Good Times. So check out this issue of the Good Times. Check out Fred Geiger, and he'll be talking back at you and back at Mike on Sundays. Do also call into Voices from the Village if you want to talk to the City Council tonight. They're on for another half hour. That's at 425-4920. That's Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Byers. Now we're going to go out on Carol Denny's classic song, This Town Gets Ready for Christmas.
Sweeping the streets. Carol Denny, This Town Gets Ready for Christmas, from her famous album, Failure to Disperse. If you want to get a copy of that album, give a call to 423-HUFF, and I'll put you in touch with how to do that. Again, you can contact the City Council. It's live on the air on Channel 71, if you can get to a television, or if you can't, get to a phone and call 425-4920 and ask them what's happening with the sleeping ban. End the ban on the 8th, or you'll be there with your blanket to shame them into doing it. I encourage you also to join me downtown tomorrow at 1 o'clock and again at 5:30 in front of New Leaf Market or Blockbuster Video if it's raining. And right now, call the City Council right now, 429-3550, and press the pound key. And listen to Uncle Dennis, who's coming in for some really interesting stuff. Dennis, go for it.
Friends, I should mention, you can also write Einstein Secret Orchestra at P.O. Box 81555. That's a new P.O. Box for them. P.O. Box 81555, Cleveland, Ohio, 44181. That zip code once again, 44181. Einstein Secret Orchestra, P.O. Box 81555, Cleveland, Ohio, 44181. And I, 81, if you can't beat 'em, friends, eat 'em.
Tune to that dial. You're at 96.3 FM with Free Radio Santa Cruz's Baffled Spears Broadsides. For the next 2.5 hours, it's civil rights talk, particularly focusing on the upcoming Tuesday Santa Cruz City Council's sleeping ban debate. I want you all to be there with your blankets over your shoulders, and today we're having a call out. We're going to call people all over town asking their opinion of the proposal that is on the agenda, which ain't much, I can tell you. Also, continuing interviews from Santa Barbara and a special response to Mike Rotkin's blast in the good times from Fred Geiger. Stay tuned.
Stop the fire, but we will ignite it, but we'll try to fight.
also. And here we are. For 2.5 hours, your call-in number is 427-3772. So let's make use of that number. It's your line to the community, your line to us, and it's something that we really have as a resource if you want to use it. 427-3772 here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. And again, I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear, Robert Norse. But to begin the show, and to get everybody thinking, I'm going to, what I'm going to do to begin with is what I promised to do last week, which is to turn to the Good Times story, where actually we had a letter from Fred Geiger on November 25th, essentially exposing Mike Rodkin and his bad record. And then we had Mike Rodkin responding to that. And Rodkin responded to that Good Times on December 3rd. And Fred has agreed to call in and to give us his latest response to Rodkin's response as the responses fly thick and fast back and forth. It's going to be interesting because Rodkin still is a very powerful key leader on the city council, even though he has a minority of the votes. The staff, I think, is really on his side, and it's going to be quite a battle in changing the direction of the council, even with a majority. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Just briefly, I want to say sleeping is not a crime. Sleeping is not camping, even. And it's that simple, and that's all we have to do is make sure that they get it clean and simple and get it done with. That's why we elected them.
Indeed. We're talking, of course, to David Silva, who's the outreach coordinator.
Who's been stood up for church. My right is gone.
Oh, no. Well, perhaps we should briefly talk to you, David.
I was going to go out the door anyway, on my own.
Well, perhaps I should let you get off to church. I know you're going to get back to us around 12:30. You're analyzing this proposal by the that's on the agenda of the City Council, item number 31, I believe.
Yeah, I see it's 6 points. Catherine Byers promised me 7 points, so I'm waiting for that seventh point.
All right, well, get back to us and keep us informed, and we'll listen to your fuller analysis later in the show.
I'll pray for you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Better to pray for us than to pray on us, eh? We should tell that to the police department that is preying on the homeless as they arrest them, roust them, seize their vehicles, give them $162 tickets, and tell them to head north or south or perhaps west. Again, our call-in number here on the show is 427-3772. I'm going to have to get my producer to get me a copy of those points, those, I guess they're the 6 points that are on the agenda. I had them... But I don't have them with me right here. I'm kind of floundering around for them. Plus, I'm looking for a copy, O Producer, if you're listening, of the November 25th Good Times article, which has Fred Geiger's original letter. It's so nice to communicate by radio as well as by telephone in these modern days of enlightened and effective communication. So, actually, I think I am in luck. I actually do have the City Council agenda here. I'm going to read you what the City Council is offering. I should say what the city staff, I don't want to necessarily blame the City Council. There is some question as to whether this comes directly from the pen of Catherine Byers or from some of the mischievous staff members in the middle. But here is what is offered to us at Tuesday's Santa Cruz City Council meeting. It's item 31. It's on the 7 o'clock administrative business agenda, which means it's not really a law change they're considering. So they haven't had the guts yet, or they don't feel it's wise enough, if for those of you who want to take that point of view, to put the sleeping and blanket bans on the agenda immediately to have them eliminated for the winter, even on a temporary basis. They don't have the courage, or they don't think that's appropriate to do that. Instead, what Catherine Byers has put on the agenda, or her staff, are the following. That the City Council by motion proceed with the following. One, at the first City Council meeting of each month, receive a report on the demand for shelter services and the number of beds available countywide for those without shelter. Two, survey churches in the area to see if they would allow limited numbers of people who live in their vehicles to park in church parking lots. Three, request staff to report back as to the prospects of improving armory shelter services by providing more transportation options or other measures. Four, direct Mayor Byers and Councilmember Sugar and Crone to review the camping ordinance and report back in February with any recommended changes. The review process shall include meetings with residents, business owners, homeless service providers, and other interested parties. 5. Direct that whenever reasonable and practicable, warnings rather than citations shall be issued by city enforcement personnel. Also, the enforcement of camping violations shall emphasize responses to citizens' complaints. 6. Direct staff to report monthly on enforcement activities related to the camping ordinance, including the number of calls for service, contacts, citations, and bookings. And that is item 31 on the December 8th, 7 p.m. City Council session at 809 Center Street. That's where City Hall is for those of you novices who have never seen that grand, grand chamber and fine building. And I hope many of you are going to be there on Tuesday night. We're going to have a meal there at 6 or 6:30, compliments of Joe Schultz, one-time master chef of an India Joe's restaurant. We're going to be hopefully even roping a Feed the People into doing a little feeding there. And then we're going to march, wander, or sort of stagger into City Hall to see what this, dare I say, nonsense is. I say nonsense for a number of reasons. These 6 points, and I encourage you to call in at 427-3772 if you want to talk about them, are pretty vague and substanceless. The fundamental thing, of course, that's missing from these 6 points is a strong statement that this council believes that sleeping is not, nor can it be, a crime for poor people or for anyone. And we intend to make sure that is the case by legislative action. The formalistic process of holding 2 council meetings is a difficult one and may require a longer period of time, though in fact, of course, they could do it if they held a special session on the 15th. They don't want to do that. I guess it might interfere with the Christmas shopping. Or maybe it would appear unduly hasty to those merchants who want to spend months and months talking about the issue and hoping to divide and further polarize the community around it, and so sabotage a basic human rights issue. Again, what can be added to this resolution, if they lack the courage to put the sleeping ban initiative on as an urgency measure, or even as an ordinary measure with 2 council meeting sessions, holding 1 as a special session, is they have to begin by saying, sleeping is and cannot be a crime. We are moving to do this. Therefore, we direct the police department, since we don't want it to waste its time or the time of poor and homeless people with bogus tickets, and they can put this any way they want, we direct the police department to make this the lowest priority. You'll see the words lowest priority are not in the staff report. We direct them to ticket only on a bona fide health and safety complaint. And there is no clear language of that sort either in this direction from Catherine Byers. We direct the city attorney to freeze all prosecutions, since it is the city attorney's office that does the prosecuting through the police department, of any sleeping and camping tickets until this issue is resolved and fully debated. Those 3 items don't appear at all on this resolution. And I'm going to attempt to lobby the council members in what way I can, but everybody else should attempt to lobby them too. Again, you want to call them up at 429-3550 right now, 429-3550, and then push the pound key, that's the voicemail for the city council, and tell them, 1, sleeping is not a crime. I want that at the head of this resolution. We are directing the police department to give out citations or warnings only on the basis of a bona fide complaint. That means a vigilante complainer who runs around just complaining about everybody in town because he likes the camping law or doesn't like homeless people does not have a leg to stand on. There has to be a specific, articulated health and safety complaint. And there also should be weekly meetings of a city council member, a member from the police department, homeless advocates, and other people where homeless people can appear with real complaints. Thanks, Ron. Real complaints about the police department and how they are not following these instructions. Since much as I respect the police department in some areas, and I'll tell you in a few minutes if I could think of 1 or 2 where I do respect them, traffic control. They did pretty good work yesterday at the parade, and I like the way they ride their bikes. That's pretty good. I can go for that. And again, I haven't done a thorough investigation of their work around murder, rape, or other serious crimes, so I can't tell you how good or how bad they are. I know that I usually see them on the mall, and I usually see them harassing homeless people, and I don't like the way they do that. And again, part of that is now in the lap of the City Council. And what we're talking about here is item 31 of the City Council agenda coming up on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, when we're also asking people to come to City Hall with their blankets, with their sleeping bags, with their nightgowns, with their nightcaps, with their teddy bears, with their bathrobes, whatever you got, bring it to City Council, 7 o'clock. And before then, give a call to City Council, 429-3550, hit the pound key and say, I'd like you to add to item 31, one, sleep shall not be a crime. City Council will be working on that, wants that to happen, and therefore during that time, freeze all prosecutions of sleep crimes, make any citations simply warnings. The problem with the warning thing, of course, is, well, make any citations simply warnings, and only if there is a bona fide health and safety complaint should there even be a warning around this issue. If there's some other violation of the law going on, then let them ticket on that basis, not on the basis of sleeping. Sleeping cannot be a crime. How many times do we have to say this before it gets through to the people in positions of authority and before they get the courage to bring that thing into the legal system so that it starts to operate in a real way in people's lives? We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Robert, do you realize that one of the things that is not on item 31 is covering with blankets?
Yep.
Therefore, even if they made it somehow legal to sleep, you still couldn't cover with blankets. And I'd say getting down to 30 degrees at night needs covering with blankets.
Now, we're talking to a person who actually sleeps outside. Is that correct?
Yep.
And how have you been treated by the police department?
I get tickets randomly, once in a while.
Uh-huh. So that's going to be one thing you're going to ask the City Council to do, is add the covering up blankets section.
Blankets, right. Because it's really hard to prove, number one, that someone was asleep. But it's really easy to prove that they were covering with blankets. And then taking that person's blankets during the time that it's so cold outside, like the storm last night. The paper says we had a tornado in Santa Cruz. Oh, gee, don't cover up with blankets during that, and don't do it when it's 30 degrees outside.
Uh-huh.
That's inhumane, and that can cause life.
Now, have you heard of any cases, a caller, of a person having their blankets taken by police or people being cited under the blanket provisions of the sleeping ban?
Yeah, January 9th, 1997, 9 days after I got out of surgery, returned to Santa Cruz, I was ticketed not for sleeping, but for covering with blankets. You'll remember during the vigil, everybody lost blankets then. There was, 200 blankets turned over to Karen Gillette?
Considerable number.
Yeah. And, there's people all the time that do get ticketed for blanket covering.
Uh-huh.
And it's really, like I said, it's so hard to prove that you were asleep, but yet it's not hard to prove that you were covering with blankets. And nowhere on 31, item 31 on the agenda does it say anything about the blanket thing.
Do you have any other comments on other things that may be missing from or that are mentioned on this agenda item?
I only looked at it just barely. I think it's kind of superficial. I mean, they'll look at the ticketing and bookings and everything once a month. Well, that doesn't say, you know, we're not going to do it. I don't understand. It's just so superficial that it doesn't seem like anything. Maybe it's a start, but it certainly doesn't seem what Keith Sugar and Christopher Crown had said that they would do.
So you sense a weakening of resolution here?
Yeah.
And
yeah, definitely. They said that they would make it, you know, so we could sleep, so we could cover with blankets, so we could do human things. And also on number 31, where they would get it even in health and safety violation, is there is no bathrooms open in town that are public bathrooms all night long.
Uh-huh.
And people, I mean, on Thanksgiving, someone had come to City Hall, and I said, you know, they aren't going to be open till, you know, Monday. Here we are on Thanksgiving, Thursday. He said, my body doesn't take a vacation. It's really quite true.
Uh-huh.
Where are people supposed to use the bathroom? They're going to be closing Locust Street parking garage for construction, which the city has it on their agenda to give them $10,000, almost $11,000 to do the construction on a building that's not even 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
And remember, they're going to take out the Soquel bathroom when they go to do the new parking lot on Soquel in front. That's going to leave no bathroom,
now the
even during the day.
So the Soquel bathroom closes in the evening anyway, right?
10 p.m.
Mm-hmm. So as a person who sleeps out, what do you do when you need to take a whiz at night there?
I visit the levee.
Uh-huh. So yes,
I've left little piles all over the levee.
I see. So that's also illegal, of course, to be on the levee after dark.
Yes, it is.
Anything you? There have been talk. There has been talk, and I've called for a demonstration at City Council on the 7th. A sleep-in at City Council, complete with sleeping bags and blankets, in order to draw media attention and the public's attention, if not the City Council's attention, to the crisis situation. What's your view on that?
Due to my parole situation, I can't give you my honest opinion to that, but I'll tell you that I wouldn't try to talk you out of it.
Okay. Anything else you want to say, caller?
No.
Thank you very much.
Later.
And that was a call from a bona fide homeless person around the issue of what's missing from item 31. Her concern was the blanket ban is nowhere addressed in this measure. In fact, they don't even mention the sleeping ban. They are still caught up in the rhetoric, the Rotkin rhetoric of another era, calling it the camping ban and so forth. We are going to talk more about this. We do want to get your calls on this, but we do have a time schedule problem, which is that Fred Geiger, who is an active individual around, well, a number of issues, has has got limited time, and I'm still searching for the November 25th good times and not finding it here, so perhaps I can have Fred, maybe he will have it and he will have read it and will be able to read it to us over the air and get his responses. We're going to do now is give him a call at home and see if